Hello, hello. Welcome back to the On My Mind podcast. I hope you're having an amazing day. I'm your host, Ava. Happy to have you here. I feel like the vibes have been very good this week all around because daylight savings happened. I don't know if it's like reversed or put into action. I don't know. Hawaii doesn't participate in daylight savings, so I always just try to keep up with the rest of the states being like, okay, what is the time difference now? Because it's always changing. Well, not always, literally only twice a year. I'm just so happy that the sun is staying out longer. I feel like here in the last month, the sun is finally setting at like 6:30 in that range, and it's so nice. Oh, it just feels like, I don't know, summer is getting closer, which is so exciting. I don't want to brush over spring because I love spring. I think spring is such a happy season. I love spring cleaning. I feel like, I don't know, in the spring, it has new transformation, blooming vibes to it. And yeah, I love spring, so I don't want to brush over it. It's crazy that Easter is in March this year. Like, that's also weird to me. Anyway, yeah, I'm in a good mood. I feel like we're getting over the hump of winter. I'm not one to speak on this, obviously, because I don't experience a really bad winter. But in Hawaii, obviously, we still have our own version of winter, which mostly just means it's rainy season, wet season. It's like wet season or dry season. It's definitely been a rainy season lately. There's not that many sunny days, but when there is, it's so nice. So I'm excited to have more of that coming soon. I was recently in Seattle and I was so humbled by the weather. I did not pack properly. I was so embarrassed. I packed in a carry-on, which I was like, oh, this is such a sleigh. Like, I'm so proud of this. I am a chronic overpacker, so that's not something that usually happens, but I was determined to because I was like, okay, I'm only gonna be here for 2 days. I don't need to do the most. I probably should have because since I was packing lighter, I didn't really pack things that I probably needed. So I was freezing the whole time. I was freezing in the hotel room. Tell me why my thermostat was set at 84 degrees and I was still chattering. I don't know, like, and I don't even think Seattle was that bad. It was in the 40s, the low 40s, which I know for people that have like a brutal winter, you're in a shorts and a tank top, but me, I was bundled to the nines, not as much as I would have liked to been, but it's okay. That truly humbled me. So to anyone who went through it this winter, proud of you. You made it out. Well, we're almost there. New season and weather changes are amongst us. And yeah, I'm so excited. I feel like February flew by. March is going by so quickly. And I don't know, I think time is starting to go by really fast for me because we're moving soon, which is so crazy. And I feel like now that there's a countdown in my head of pretty much when we'll be moving, time has just been in fast mode, it feels like. It feels like everything's fast forwarding. But yeah, looking at my office right now, pretty much everything is packed up. I recently just posted a YouTube video about cleaning and decluttering, and there's a giveaway in that video. So if you want to watch that, go enter. You just have to enter on that video and you leave a little comment. So I'm giving away some PR things because I was going through stuff and I was like, honestly, I don't need all of this. I love what I do and I love getting PR. It's so awesome that brands will send stuff for free. Brands that I love, that is insane to me. And I remember being 13 and watching influencers at the time get PR and I was just so envious and in awe. So it's, I don't know, it's crazy to do that. So I definitely wanted to give back to you guys. I feel like I only have one face. I only have one head of hair. I don't need all of these products. So I try my best to donate to women's shelters, donate to friends, family. And yeah, I thought since I was filming it, I was like, why don't I give it away to one of you? That would be so fun. I definitely want to do that more often. But yeah, go enter if you want to win some fun PR products. But yeah, it looks like we're going to be moving late April. I don't even know why as late as April. I don't know. They keep telling me that we'll be able to close the last week of April, which all of that is still beyond me. I'm still figuring out what escrow means. And it's been a big learning process. I have very good guidance from my parents and the people around me, but I feel like we're not very educated on these things in school. So figuring it out has kind of been not difficult, but it's been a little bit of a challenge, which I'm excited about. I love being challenged and it's nice to learn something new. That's obviously very valuable. But yeah, I have no idea what's going on. Next on the list is to lock in an interest rate and track the trends of the interest rates and then lock one in for my mortgage, which is so exciting and riveting. And I have no idea what's going on with that. I'm trying to track it to hopefully lock in the lowest interest rate possible. And I have a deadline for that. So That's what I'm currently working on. But other than that, the house, I go on a more fun note because no one cares about all that. The house is looking so good. It's pretty much done. The inside is almost completed. The appliances just went in. There's toilet bowls in there now, which is amazing. Woohoo. The bathtub went in. Flooring, countertops. It's pretty much completely done in there other than finishing touches, I guess. I clearly am not a construction worker, so I don't know. There could be other things, but yeah, electrical, everything looks done. I think they just need to do final touches. The landscaping's in, the grass is starting to grow. Oh, it's just so crazy to see it all come together. The house got painted and it looks so freaking good. I'm so excited. So I'm hoping that since they're ahead of time construction-wise, that we'll be able to move in a little bit sooner than expected because that would be amazing. But either way, I say that, but I'm honestly not in a rush just because I feel like so much is going to happen this next month and it's going to be just so chaotic to pack up this whole place and move out. There's things I have to do to move out that I signed. Like in my apartment contract, I have to get things professionally cleaned, the apartment freshly cleaned, the carpet freshly cleaned, the AC cleaned. All these things have to go on. And thinking about that stresses me out a little bit, but I'm just gonna take it one day at a time. Obviously, it's a very exciting time and I'm so excited to share it all with you guys. I feel like I've been doing a pretty good job at posting on Instagram and YouTube and TikTok. So if you want to see what the house is starting to look like, definitely go follow and check out those platforms if you want. But yeah, I am so excited to be in that space soon. And it's going to be weird to close this chapter because I feel like this apartment was my first step into adulthood. I lived alone for a year and a half. And then now I live with my boyfriend, which is all just really big steps in life. And it's just so crazy. So I'm going to be sad to leave. I also live in the city right now. So moving to a suburb will also be a little bit of a jump scare. Right now, Target is so close. Things are so close in proximity to me. I can walk places. And then obviously moving to the suburbs isn't as accessible. I think the walking score there is like, I don't know, when I was looking online, they give a walking score. So how convenient it is to walk to places. And I think my apartment had like a score of 90 or something. And I think the house has a score of under 10, which is so funny. But I'm so excited to go on wholesome walks in the neighborhood, maybe get a dog. I think that's one of the biggest things I'm most excited for. And to just have Coda over, which is my family dog. That'll be amazing. So one thing at a time, all these things just sound really expensive. And since I'm not in the pits and the depths of this yet, I'm like, ooh, I want to do this and this. Yeah, I'm going to have to take that one step at a time. I am notorious for getting ahead of myself. So yeah, I need to calm down. But I wanted to give you that update. Not that it really affects anything with the podcast. Other than I may... And let me know how you feel about this. Please leave a comment or DM because I would love to know. I may start filming these and posting them on a YouTube channel because not on my actual YouTube channel, but maybe on a podcast YouTube channel. I know people love to watch podcasts and I don't know. I mean, I'm not totally against it, but I'm also not super gung-ho for it. One, because I feel like I don't have the most ideal setup in my current apartment. So I was like, that's kind of out of the question. I also, like, I'm recording in my underwear right now and I'm not going to be able to do that. But you know, I'm sure we'll figure it out. However, in the house, I definitely want to have a really nice creative space and I want to make it like a proper podcasting space right now. I mean, I have it just a pretty simple setup. I sit in a chair and I have my microphone and I just record here, but I would love to have a more legit setup. So I thought maybe I should record it because I know people have been loving that. So let me know your thoughts on that, if that'd be something you'd be interested in, if you'd rather watch like a video format rather than listening, let me know because that would be a big change, but something I am potentially interested in. Today's a Monday, the day that I'm recording this. I sat down just wanting to chat with you. I have a little Olipop with me. It's a classic root beer flavor. I'm laughing. I think it's the funniest thing. I don't know when this started and I notice it in so many of my friends and people online. And I just think it's so cute. Why do we call everything little? Oh, I just have this little Olipop, or look at this cute little bag. And the thing is, usually these things aren't even little, but I just, that, why is that one of my favorite descriptive words? And that's not even a good word to describe any of these things, because usually when I'm calling something, oh, this cute little pair of jeans, the jeans aren't little, babe. I don't know. It's just so funny to me that that's one of the most popular adjectives these days. And I don't know when this happened, but I notice it in myself. And like I said, others around me. And I just think it's so cute. Anyway, I'm about to open this, crack this open, because We are back with, I don't even know what advice session number this is. Maybe this is 10. If it is, woohoo. If not, awkward. It might be 9. If it is 10, yay. So excited. I asked you guys on Instagram. Actually, usually I ask for you to write in into the question box on Instagram, but there's a limit to how much you can write on there. So this time I asked you to submit questions, things you needed advice on or help with to the podcast email. So I think these questions are going to be a little bit longer. I haven't looked at them yet. I'm really excited. I love giving, sharing advice. Hopefully it hits. If not, it's just another perspective. You can take it, you can leave it. It's at no offense to me. Again, this is just one girl's opinion. We all have our own opinions and that's okay. So hopefully this advice helps. If not, maybe it offers a different perspective and that's always good too. I like to think that my advice is pretty good because sometimes when I give advice, I can't even take it myself. So that's what I use as a telltale sign to be like, oh, this advice is so good that I don't even want to take it for myself in my own life. You know, something I'm loving more and more as I get older is a good old glass of wine with dinner, but I'm definitely new to that whole world of wine. If you're also a wine lover, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I found the most personalized wine club that has amazing wines and exclusive perks. It's called First Leaf. Like I said, I'm new to this whole world, but as a First Leaf member, I get to discover new wines I'm guaranteed to enjoy. You might be wondering, how do you do that? First Leaf gets to know your unique preferences. All I did was answer a few quick questions on their website about what flavors I like, how often I drink wine, if I prefer red, white, or rosé. And then based on my answers, First Leaf curated an amazing selection of wines personalized just for me. And I gotta say, they really hit it on the money with it. In my most recent box, I was able to try a Pinot Noir. I don't know if I'm saying that right, a Sauvignon Blanc and a rosé. The rosé was so good. I actually brought it to a little dinner that I had with some friends and we all shared a glass. I was really impressed. That was probably my favorite one. It's been so fun to try different wines and figure out what I like, especially as I'm becoming more of an adult. I don't know, it just feels like such an adult thing to do. And best of all, I get to choose when I want my box delivered and how often I get a new assortment of wine. In addition to all that, as a First Leaf member, you get access to their wine concierge. So if you want wine pairing advice to talk about the wines in your box, you can speak with one of their experts. Plus you get member exclusive pricing on every order. It's amazing wine delivered right to my door, all priced lower than what I pay at a wine store, which is the most perfect situation. Join the club today and discover new wines you'll love with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/mind to get your first box. That's tryfirstleaf.com/mind. tryfirstleaf.com/mind. So I've been dating this guy since we were young teenagers, but we broke up lately because we grew a little toxic towards each other. I've been learning how to live without him now, but it's still hard. When I see him, he's laughing and smiling and looks like he's totally fine and the breakup doesn't affect him at all. So my question is, and I know this is so high school of me, how do I make him jealous? How do I make him feel like he's missed out big time? For some reason, I just can't imagine that he's totally fine if he loved me like he claimed he did. Love the podcast. P.S. Come visit the Bahamas someday. Don't gotta tell me twice. Okay, advice for this. Yes, it is high school, but you know what? That's just part of it. I have been there and I truly think most people have. So I've always said this, but whatever you guys say, whatever you guys feel, there's never judgment for me, even if I don't necessarily agree. But this one, I will say, though this is not necessarily how I feel now, was it back when I was in high school? Absolutely. I would have wanted to do the same thing. I think what is the most frustrating part is having someone tell you they want to marry you one day, they see themselves with you for the rest of their lives, making all these claims and then leaving you like it's nothing and just moving on like it was the easiest thing to do in the world. I think that is the most confusing part and what's the most hurtful, because they made all these promises and said all these things and then it just seems like all of it was a lie, which it could have been. It also could have been true. You'll just never know. And yeah, that's definitely the worst part. So I understand how you feel. It's really frustrating. But I think my advice to you, being a little bit out of that angsty teenage phase of mine, which is still definitely there sometimes, trust me, to make someone jealous, I think the best thing you can do is truly 100% live your best life. Go out with your friends, be social, do things for you that make you feel good, that make you exude confidence, because when you exude confidence, you look happier, you look healthier, and I think that is honestly the best way to get back at someone and for them to be like, wow, like, damn, she's really thriving without me. Like, yes, I am. Thrive without them. Show them that them breaking up with you or you bringing up with them, whatever it is, was the best thing that could have ever happened to you. I think that stings the worst more than doing some petty stuff, because usually when you do petty things, it almost shows them that you still really care about them. So I think truly moving on, even if, you know, moving on takes a while. So it's hard to just be like, oh, I've moved on. Even if you haven't moved on yet, still do the things that make you feel good. Live your best life. I think that's the best revenge, honestly. I started a new job at a coffee shop about 2 months ago, and I'm the first new hire that they've had in over 6 months. With that, I feel like they all have very good bonds and hang out with each other outside of work, and that's definitely something I wish to be included on, but for some reason, I feel so shy around them. I feel like I have nothing good or funny to say, which leads me just being quiet even though I know I'm fun to be around. I know I won't start getting invited to things outside of work until I open up more, but it's been hard to come out of my shell. Do you have any advice for opening up more in a situation like this? Love you so much. Thanks. I've been there too. I know what it's like to hang out with people who are kind of already in an established group and not really know where your place is. And it can be a really uncomfortable feeling because you don't know if they even care that you're there. You don't know how to make yourself a part of it. But what I think has always helped me is just tackling it one person at a time. When I was really deeply struggling with social anxiety, I feel like when I was in big groups, it would be hard to feel like it was hard. Big groups are hard, especially if you are someone who's not naturally the most outgoing in large groups of people. I think tackle it one person at a time, maybe making a connection with a single person. I think that might be the best way to approach it. It's a lot less intimidating rather than trying to appeal to the whole group and say things in group situations. And I don't know. I think one-on-one is the best. I'm a big one-on-one person. I feel like the best friendships in my life are built off of one-on-one interactions. And then when you come together as a group, it's really fun. But yeah, I think getting to know people on a personal basis anyway is always a little more personal. And like I said, it's just a little bit easier to do. It's less daunting. So I would say the next time you're at the coffee shop, maybe it's just you and someone else or you and two other people, try and make connections like that rather than the big group as a whole. I also think just building your own confidence within yourself is super helpful, because instead of it being like, oh, why don't people want to be friends with me? Is something wrong with me? If you turn that into you growing the confidence within yourself and you know you're amazing, I feel like that puts out a lot more magnetic energy than thinking that you have nothing good to offer, because you do. And I know you said in this that you know you're fun to hang out with, so I'm glad that your confidence isn't shot from that, because I know what it feels like to, I don't know, just feel bad that people don't want to be your friend and think something's wrong with you. There's not. But growing my own confidence has always just transferred to every other area of my life, including my social side. And that's the biggest thing that has helped me. I wouldn't say I'm 100% overcome. I've 100% overcame social anxiety. It definitely creeps in time and time again, especially with situations that haven't presented itself before. They're brand new. But I think what's helped me overall is working on that inner confidence, because no one can ever take that away from you. And you know that you have something good to offer. I'm 23 like you, but I've never been in a relationship or came anywhere close to that. I don't think that this is bad at all. No pressure, but from time to time, I worry I'll never find true love. Every time I see a couple, I just think they must be so grateful to have found love in each other. Not in a jealous way, but in a hopeless romantic way. I'm a huge sucker for all sorts of romance books and movies. Do you have any advice on how to meet someone besides dating apps, or advice on how to cope with seeing people your age getting married while never being in a relationship? This is so valid. Especially since you're my age, you know that we're getting to the age where people around us are having kids, getting engaged, getting married. And it's the weirdest thing. It is so strange to me that I have friends that are like getting married off, that have children in their stomachs, or like children running around right now. And I'm like, what do you mean? When did we grow up? Like, I'm still in high school. But yeah, it's an interesting age to be at, because everyone truly is at such different stages of their lives. But that doesn't make where you're at wrong or less than just because you're not there. My advice on that and how to cope with this time in our lives and people our age getting married, all those things. Surround yourself with people who are in a similar stage of life to you. I think that's the best thing you could do. Maybe pouring more into those friends that are also single. I think obviously it's fine to have friends that are doing different things. That's the beauty of life. No one's ever on the same path. But I think it's really nice to have people that you can relate to that are in that similar stage, because there's less comparison and there's more relatability. And it honestly might make you feel less alone. I think if you're only hanging out with people who are in relationships or getting married, obviously this is why you're feeling bad, because that's all that you know and that's all that you hang out with. So it feels like you're missing something or that you're behind on something when you're not. There's so many other people out there that are in the same stage of life as you, also feeling the same way. So I think finding those people and really connecting with them is really, really helpful. Obviously, having a mix is great. I have people in my life, like I said, who have kids, who are married, friends who are single. I think everything's great. But yeah, I think it's good to have a variety of friends, obviously. But if you're feeling this way and you're feeling not jealousy, but you feel comparison and you're feeling these negative feelings of being behind whatever it is, finding people in the similar stage should really help with that. And in terms of advice on meeting someone besides dating apps, going out there, getting out into the world. People meet significant others through work. So I don't know if you have a job, but well, that's not always like the answer either. I'm just saying, you know, some people find the love of their life at work. I don't know if that's against HR. So maybe don't take that advice. I would say if you're looking to meet someone that's not on a dating app, which is totally okay, by the way. That's the world we live in. I think it's a great tool. But if you're not looking to do that, I think the only other way is by having hobbies, by going out and doing things. Maybe, I don't know, like it depends what you're interested in. Joining a run club or a surf club or a reading club. I don't know. Whatever gets you out there doing things. Go to a pottery class, go to a cooking class. Anything that gets you out into the world and meeting people, I think is the best way to do it. Because if you're just at home, going to work, those are the only people that you'll ever see. And so that's when sometimes you can feel kind of stuck, because you're like, I feel like I'm stagnant. I'm not moving forward. I feel like I don't know how to meet anyone. If you're only running in the same circles all the time, it's going to be really hard for a new character to come into the picture that way. You're only going to find new characters to your story by doing different things and seeking different groups. And that's a really scary thing to do, but I think that's the best thing you could do. I met Micah on a night out with one of my friends, which is just so crazy to me, because I fully had the intention of it just being a girls' night. I didn't even put makeup on that night. We went to get dinner, had no intention of going out after, and then we did. She convinced me to, and that's when I met him. So I never would have if I hadn't put myself out there. So I think putting yourself out there is always worth it. You never know when you'll meet your person. I don't think you should put yourself out there only to try and seek out a partner, but you'll meet new friends. You will get new life experiences. I just think it's amazing all around to do that. And who knows, something could happen from that in the romantic department. What are your tips on making healthy, long-lasting friendships? Stepping into my new 20s era, it's definitely a struggle to find genuine people that I can trust. I can't tell if it's because I'm too shy, too nervous about opening up to others, or if I genuinely don't attract people. Help. It's definitely not that you don't attract people, because there are people out there who you haven't met yet that are going to be lifelong friends that are going to mean a lot to you. And that's definitely something to look forward to. I think with long-lasting friendships, sometimes it's not even a new friend that comes into your life. Maybe that's fostering more care into a friendship that already exists. That's a little bit more on a surface level, growing that into a deeper, more meaningful connection, more of a deeper friendship. That can be hard to do when you don't know how to open up. And that's the scary thing about opening up. But I think it's also the most beautiful thing to share pieces of yourself, your heart, your mind, your soul with someone else, someone that you trust. And given friendships don't always work out, so when you bare your thoughts and your soul to someone else, it really hurts when that ends. But you can't live life like that. You can't live life in fear. And so I've always just led with that, being like, all right, sometimes it can be scary to open up, but the people that are closest to me in my life, I have such a deep connection with, because I feel like we've shared stories with each other. We've shared trauma with each other. We've shared our experiences with each other. And that's not necessarily always the easiest thing to do. I don't think you just jump right into that. But, you know, you start it slow. It's really similar to a relationship. It doesn't just all happen at once. It happens over time. So putting time and effort into these friendships, doing things together, I think doing things that align with a long-lasting, healthy friendship, like dinners with conversations, doing activities together. Obviously, going out with your friends is super fun, but you're not gonna create a deep, like, soul bond with a friend if all you do is go out and party with each other, because it's really hard to, first of all, talk in situations like that. And that's not necessarily the environment where that grows. There's a time for that, And it's great to do that. It's fun. I've really been valuing quality time with my friends, whether that's hanging out, going on a little friendship date. Like, that's super fun to me. In terms of finding people you can trust, I think not the only way, but the main way to figure out if you can trust someone is by just blindly going in and trusting them and seeing if they break it or not. And if they don't, then that's someone you can trust. And like I said, it's a jump. It's scary to do that sometimes, but I think you can definitely build on that, trusting them with smaller things, and then that tends to grow later on. I definitely used to be one of those people who would come up with a lot of excuses to why I couldn't work out or just why I didn't have time for it, but then I found Alo Moves and my whole mindset has changed. The app makes it easy to keep my wellness routine on track because they truly have everything in one place. Alo Moves has everything for everyone. So whether you're a beginner or advanced, Alo Moves has flows and classes that will fit with your schedule. If you have 5 minutes or a whole hour, they have classes for whatever you're feeling that day. So maybe you want to get a good sweat in. They have sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts, with or without weights, or maybe you're looking for some stress relief. They have that too. They offer meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, dry brushing, and journaling for those quiet moments. Or maybe you're struggling with sleep. Alo Moves believes sleep is just as important as fitness and nutrition. And ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Alo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster, easier, and staying asleep longer. Honestly, since my schedule is always changing, I feel like no day ever looks the same. It can be hard to find a good balance and a good groove. The flexibility that I'm able to have with Alo Moves has completely changed the game when it comes to my personal wellness routine. So unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use code MIND for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MIND, alomoves.com, code MIND. Definitely check it out. When I first moved into my apartment, I was best friends with one of my roommates. However, she hurt me so badly a few months ago, essentially dropped me, and we're no longer friends. Seeing her still upsets me, and it's sometimes unbearable because all those terrible feelings come back, whether it's pain, resentment, or anger. I'm wondering if you have any advice on how to deal with this. How do I let go of our past and be okay with seeing her every day? This one is hard. It's one of the worst things to deal with when you have to see someone that hurt you every single day, whether it's an ex-best friend, an ex-partner. That is just the worst, but it happens. So honestly, my advice to this, and this is definitely the mature way to look at it, when you are hurt and you're feeling all these emotions, it can be hard to do this. But I think the best thing that you could do is not hold on to this anger. And to do that, I think you have to forgive this person. By holding on to all these things that you feel, all these negative emotions, the only person it's hurting is you. And it sucks to feel like that. I think talking about it with someone that you trust, maybe it's a therapist, maybe it's a friend or a parent, someone you trust, and venting to them, I think that could be helpful. But sometimes venting is also dangerous territory because venting can turn into shit talking. And shit talking, while it could be fun in the moment, long term, that doesn't do anything for you. That doesn't serve you. Sometimes, sure, it's good to get it off your chest if it's like a one-off thing, but if it becomes a constant thing of talking shit, I'm not saying that you're doing this, but I think that can be dangerous territory because, again, that comes from a place of being really bothered. And so I think to be unbothered in this, it's to forgive. It's one of the hardest things to do, especially when someone has hurt you so deeply, but the most freeing feelings is forgiving someone and not having all those negative emotions on your heart anymore. I think for me, and I say this with hindsight at past situations that are similar to this, because in the moment, I know how emotions get and it can be really hard to take this route, but seeing them as just a human who's also figuring things out. No one's perfect. I'm sure I've hurt people. Maybe I'm that person to someone's story. I don't know. We're all human. We make mistakes, we do things that hurt other people, whether it's intentional or not. Even though your roommate did something very hurtful to you, maybe they don't deserve your forgiveness. But like I said, it's not for them. Forgiveness is for you. It's for you to let that off your heart. It's for you to feel free of these emotions. And honestly, at the end of the day, I think that's worth the ego of it all, you know? I've just gone separate ways to my boyfriend of 4 years. I'm 22 and he's been my everything in every part of my life. We ended in the best way we could and I believe it was the right person, wrong time. How do I not let this turn into hope that we will get back together down the line? I'm in my final year of college and nothing feels certain. I don't know what I want to do when I graduate, and it's easy to feel behind when your friends are busy with their jobs and boyfriends. I now see why people call these the panic years. Yes. There aren't many opportunities where I live, so I know I'll need to make some pretty big decisions soon. Do I jump in the deep end and move away on my own, or do I stay in an okay job in an okay town surrounded by friends and family? I need to learn how to be my own person, but how deep is too deep, and how do you know you're making the right decision? Ooh, this is quite the loaded question, but reading this, I have some advice that honestly comes pretty quickly to mind. I feel like it can be very dangerous territory to have the right person, wrong time idea in your head. I honestly feel like a lot of people feel that when they go through a breakup, because it helps you cope with the breakup, being like, oh, maybe down in the future, down the line. Breakups are one of the most transformative periods of your life, especially after a long-term relationship. You almost owe it to yourself to explore what this life looks like without that person, especially since you're 22, you were in a four-year relationship. That means you were with them since you were 18. You haven't had a chance to really explore life and explore adulthood on your own yet. And I think it's one of the best experiences that someone can go through. And I think it's so valuable to do that. So instead of holding on to hope of, oh, maybe we'll get together in the future, maybe you will, who knows? But get that out of your head and focus on what's in front of you. Focus on you right now, because this is time that you won't always have. One day you're going to look back and be like, wow, that was the period of my life where I explored myself and explored all these different opportunities. This is probably the first time in your adult life where you can make decisions just for you. You don't have to take another person into account. And I think that's huge and that's exciting. It's also scary. Change is scary, but change is good. And regardless of if you end up back together with this person or not, I think putting your energy into the present is so important. Explore who you are, explore adulthood on your own, explore your identity. When you're in a long-term relationship, I feel like your identity kind of becomes one with the person. And so it's a really exciting time when you go through a breakup, because you really get to explore your individuality. I don't necessarily think there's a right or wrong in terms of what you should do with jumping off the deep end or playing it safe. There's a fork in the road. You could go left, and that's the land of opportunity and the question marks, or you could go to the right, and that's the safe option of staying at home with, like you said, an okay job in an okay town. I don't know, the way you worded it, it almost makes me feel like you just need the push to maybe dive off the deep end, because you definitely don't want to look back at this point in your life, look back at your early 20s and be like, oh, I should have done that. Maybe this will give you peace of mind, but say you jump off the deep end, explore something brand new, take the leap, and it doesn't work out. Not everything in life goes our way. Your home will always be there. Your family will always be there. Your town will always be there. It's not going anywhere. And so if things don't work out, you always have that. I feel like now would be the time in your life for you to maybe do something like this and take the leap. But like I said, it's up to you. But hopefully that gives you a little bit of peace of mind, knowing that your town will always be there, your friends and your family always will. You have that as a little backup option, which is really nice to have. Not everyone has that. And so I don't know. I say do it. Life is short. Sometimes life feels long. It feels really long, but who knows what it could turn into. You won't until you try. And then at least once you try, you'll know. And it won't be like this what if. I need advice on how to make life in general more exciting. Long story short, I've just turned 20 and I have a full-time job, trying to figure out if I want to move up in that job or find a different career. But because I work full-time and I have a lot of friends who are also working, I wanted to know how to keep life more exciting while doing this. I guess some activities to input in my daily/weekly routines or activities I can do to help vamp up my life a little bit, because even though things are super peaceful, I'm getting a bit bored and unmotivated. I also find that I'm starting to become a bit of a hermit crab and not going out as much, which I definitely don't want to keep doing. This is a great question. I think a lot of us feel this way, because when you are in your young 20s or late 20s, whatever period of your life, when you are first entering the workforce, your life does 180 from maybe being in high school or university, college, having free time and being able to go out and having activities and parties being accessible and constant. So things just felt chaotic but fun, and you always had things going on. Or maybe your university, college experience was, your head was in the books. I mean, either way, you're surrounded by peers and there's a lot of newness to it. But once you start your career and you kind of start to settle in, I get that feeling where you're like, oh shit, this is the rest of my life. Whoa. And it kind of hits you, because you realize that this is what you're going to be doing or not. I mean, if you don't stay in the same field, which I don't know how people stay in the same field for 30 years, it's obviously amazing that people do. But if you want to switch careers, switch. Like, nothing in life is permanent. Sometimes you just make it feel a lot more permanent than it is. However, I'm getting off topic here. I think the best way to keep life exciting is to plan things. Look at concerts that are coming up in your city or a nearby city that you can make a little weekend trip out of, or a little road trip to. Artists that are coming to your city, maybe making an effort to do more active activities with your friends. Go outside, go on play dates. Like, why did we stop going on play dates as adults? It's been really fun because Micah's family has been doing this thing where on Sundays they will go to the park and play basketball. They'll bring volleyball. They'll bring a mitt and a ball and play catch. And it's just so fun. It feels so good for the inner child to do activities like that. I think we stop doing these things as we get older because we're like, oh, I'm so focused on my school or my work. And that's great to be focused, but it's also good to have balance in life. And I think planning a fun thing weekly, maybe a bigger thing monthly, is really good to do. And sticking to that, because sometimes it's really easy, and I'm very guilty of this, of canceling plans or not wanting to do something because I too tend to hermit myself a little bit. And you know, sometimes that's okay because sometimes that's the vibe. Sometimes I'm like, I am so glad I chose to not go out tonight. I'm laying in bed reading, I have a face mask on, like life is good. But you don't want to take that too far and have it be a negative thing in your life where you say no so much to going out and doing things that you just never do anymore. Because if you want your life to be exciting, you're going to have to go out and actively do that. Especially, I feel like once you enter this stage in adulthood, it's an active effort to do those things and to make those plans. So yeah, I'd say maybe in your notes or in your journal, write down a list of activities that you'd like to do and incorporate that into your life, into your weekends, into your time off. Maybe it's trying a new hobby or trying a new coffee shop with your friends or a new thrift store, going thrifting, whatever it is. It's really easy to get settled into our routines and our life, but adding a little spice here and there is very good for your soul. It's good for your happiness. So definitely recommend doing that. I've just finished my third year of university and I'm so stressed. I want to be an equine vet, horse vet. I'm so sorry if I said that wrong. And I have to start applying for vet school soon, which is very competitive in Canada for some reason. I'm struggling with constantly feeling like I'm not smart enough and having a lot of self-doubt that I won't be accepted. It's really difficult to keep motivation when I'm not sure if I'll even be accepted and if it's my dream. What advice do you have for dealing with self-confidence struggles in your career or life? You've really inspired me and I love upon your videos. What advice do you have for dealing with self-confidence struggles in your career or life? This is so understandable. I don't know why it's instilled in us to have these moments of fear and self-doubt when nothing has even happened yet. Like, you don't know if you got in yet or if you didn't. So I would wait for that before, you know, you spiral into this, I'm not good enough. Because what if that letter comes in and you get in and it's like, oh, wait, I didn't have to spiral and go through the seven stages of grief. You don't know what happened yet. You don't know what you don't know. And the best you can do while you wait to see if you get accepted is just hope for the best. If you are really that worried, maybe not setting your expectations to the sky, because obviously you want to be super disappointed, but just be neutral about it. You be like, you know what, if I get in, that's amazing, that's my dream. But if I don't, maybe it's a sign to chase another dream that I've always wanted to, or shift with what I want in life and with what I want to do with my life. I think with these things, it's all about perspective. And so if you don't get in, I mean, I don't know how vet schools work, try again, especially if you can. I don't see the harm in doing that. It might just not be the time now. Again, you don't even know if you got in or yet not. So I'm like, I want you to be positive and hope for the best. But like I said, if it doesn't work out, it could also be like the best thing for you. You just don't know. I'll share this because I think it kind of aligns with what you are feeling right now. But in Micah's Fire Academy class, there are people in his class who have applied for over 15 years in a row to get into the Hawaii Fire Department. And they finally got in on their 15th, 16th, 17th try. And this is years of trying to chase this dream job of theirs. And they had other careers in the meantime, obviously, to supplement their life. And I just think it's the coolest thing when Micah was telling me that. I'm like, wow, imagine if they had just given up. Don't give up on something that means a lot to you. And I don't know, you can use that as a testament because you never know when something will work out for you. I dated this guy for a little over a year and our relationship was great until it wasn't. Our communication was awful and we ended up breaking up. We broke up last spring. When we broke up, we said some pretty horrible things to each other and shot under the belt. My siblings hate him because of this and often talk badly about him. What they don't know is that we've been back in contact and have been fixing what we destroyed since October. I've been secretly hanging out with him and it's sad because I'm close to my siblings. I'm scared to tell them because I'm afraid they'll think I'm dumb or not respect him or our relationship. I need your advice on whether I should, one, tell my siblings, and two, let their opinion have an impact on my life. I know this all too well. Be careful when you talk shit about like an ex to your mom, your dad, your siblings, your best friend, because they will not forget it. And they will not forgive that easily. Trust me. Think about a time when your best friend was viciously hurt over a boy or a girl. Really bad. And you saw the trenches of this. You know what was said. You know what was done. Obviously, you love your person. You love your best friend. So you're going to be like, F them. They're the worst. And it would take a lot for, you know, the person to come back into their lives and for you to be like, oh, okay. Like, you're not just going to be, yay, I'm so happy you're together. He broke your heart. You're literally like not eating for 2 months, you know? So I understand your sibling's perspective. But yeah, to anyone listening, be careful what you say to people, because people are not as forgiving as you when it comes to partners, romantic partners. And I understand that. Should you tell your siblings? Well, I will say this. Would you rather them hear it from you or through someone else? They might feel really hurt if they find out through another source. That might even create more distrust within your relationship with them and also make them think, oh, if you're hiding him, it's because you know that he hasn't changed or whatever it is. I think it might actually be good if you just flat out tell them and explain and be like, hey, I'm giving this person a second chance. We'll see how it goes. This is what we've done to grow from this. This is what we've communicated. And then from that point on, I mean, as much as this sucks, your person, your boyfriend is probably gonna have to prove himself a little bit, you know, to your siblings, because they know what happened and they saw how hurt you were. But if this is the person you're gonna end up with, obviously they'll be willing to do anything for you to make it work out, you know? And should you let their opinion have an impact on your life? I don't think anyone's opinion should have a final say over the things that go on in your life, because I don't think that's healthy. Even with people that care so deeply for you, the only person who should make decisions should be you. Should you take other people's opinions and thoughts into consideration? Yes, especially if they know you well and they want the best for you. Sometimes we can't see that for ourselves because we're so blinded by love or by other things. So other people's opinions and what they say in our lives, yes, matter. But I mean, ultimately, obviously, you are the only person in control of your life. But yeah, this is definitely sticky ground, sticky territory. I would tread carefully. The biggest thing from this, I would probably tell them yourself, because you don't want them to find out through someone else. That would probably sting and just set off even more red flags for them. Throughout my whole life, I've always struggled to know what I want to be when I grew up. I was never the kid who wanted to be a million different things when they got older. I just simply did not know what I wanted to do. And I still feel this way as a 22-year-old woman. My problem is this. Even though I like my 9-to-5 office job and the people I work with, I feel a little unsettled at the thought of working in an environment like this until retirement. I'm not convinced that I'm someone who will find fulfillment in a career. I've even graduated from college with a degree that I could use, and I could earn a lot of money using my degree, and I'm glad I have this degree to fall back on if necessary. Even though I've never known exactly what career I would like to have, I know that I've always wanted to be a mother, even as a very young child. If everything could work in the way I want it to, I would love nothing more than to be a stay-at-home mother. But as a recently single woman, this is not an option for me right now or in the near future. This is my question. Is it normal to not be a career-oriented person? Is it possible I feel this way because I've not yet found something that clicks with me? To go back to what you were saying about feeling unsettled about working there until retirement, you don't have to. It's okay to bounce around from different careers, to try different things. Life is about trying new things. I think I mentioned this earlier, but the odds of you being so obsessed with your job and career that you stay there for 30 years, that's a blessing if it is, and if that's you and for the people who have done that. But I think it's this narrative that's pushed that's like, once you're in your career, you can't move. But I mean, it's like college when people are like, oh, switching your degree, like that's so bad. Switch your degree if you want to switch your degree. You know, nothing in life is as permanent as we feel like it is. Sometimes we just make it permanent when it really usually isn't. And to answer your question about, is it normal to not be a career-oriented person? Yes. I think our generation is kind of the first to be like, I don't want to live to work. I want to work to live. I want my work to supplement my real life, what I actually care about doing. And you know what? It's okay if you're not 100% obsessed with your job. It's not your dream job. some people don't have a dream job. Like, some people don't dream to work, and that's okay. I think there's different kinds of people. There's people who are sharks and want to get after it and have all these career goals and things they want to do and achieve and money they want to make. And then there's people that are the exact opposite. Both are okay. It's also okay to fall kind of somewhere in the middle too. Honestly, everyone is different. You could feel this way because you haven't found something that clicks with you, or maybe that's just not who you are. I feel like it's hard because in the society that we live in, everything is so expensive. Everything costs money to have a roof over your head, to travel, to do things that you want to do, to live life is expensive. Living, literally just breathing and existing, costs so much money. And so the way I like to give advice on this, if you feel like there's nothing you are super passionate about, that you maybe don't have a dream job, that's okay. Your work can supplement your life. I think at minimum, you don't want to dread your job. You're spending like half of your life in a workplace. You don't want to dread what you do. It doesn't have to be your ultimate dream scenario. You know, sometimes that's just not realistic for people, and that's not the cards that everyone gets dealt. Find a job that you're somewhat happy in, maybe really happy, that you find fulfillment doing, or that just pays you well and that you can live with doing. And that will support your life. And what really matters, that'll support you being a mom one day and support your traveling dreams or whatever you want to do with your life. I know it can be really hard at this age to feel like you have to have everything figured out. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I was in high school. I honestly never really had a dream job either, other than an astronaut. Well, specifically a doctonaut. I thought I was going to be a doctor in space. Clearly, I strayed a little bit far from that path. I ended up just falling into this and having what I do now as a job, but genuinely, I do not know what I'd be doing if I didn't do this. Like, I have no idea. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. There's so much confusion. There's so much pressure. But yeah, my advice to you, since you said you like your office job and the people you work with, stay there until you maybe have things a little bit more figured out. If you want to try something new, try something new. Nothing is permanent unless you make it permanent. You're allowed to move. You're allowed to switch careers. You're allowed to switch it up, try something different. I know it's such a difficult place to be in, but you're definitely not alone with this. You know, things typically have a way of working out in one way or another. Sometimes it takes longer than others, but it will. I'm going to leave it at that. Dang, those were some really good questions. I'm glad I did it over email so that we could have proper backstory and get a little bit more into these questions. I hope you enjoyed this advice session. Maybe it helped you a little bit, offered a new perspective. Thank you so much for listening. And that was all the advice on my mind.